Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Today we start Mark chapter 8. Our focus will be on Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. The compassion upon the 4,000. Mark 8, 1 through 10. We're in this first main section of Mark's gospel that began back in chapter 1, verse 14. And runs through to the end of chapter 9. The presentation of the servant in Galilee. Remember, Mark's gospel presents Jesus as the servant, the one who comes to serve. And in chapter 1, verse 14, through the end of chapter 9, is the Lord's ministry in Galilee. That's important to realize that Galilee, the territory itself, is about 70 miles north of Jerusalem, and the Sea of Galilee is about 80 miles north of Jerusalem. It's important to understand that most of the Lord's ministry took place in Galilee because the Jews or the Hebrew people had rejected Jesus as their Messiah. Even though he would go into Jerusalem for the feast days, his main ministry was in Galilee until he came to Jerusalem to die on that final week. So at the end of chapter 9, we have chapter 10, which is the presentation of the servant in Judea, and then chapters 11 through 16, the Lord's final week of ministry. In chapter 7, we saw at the end of chapter 7, when Jesus was in the area of Decapolis on the southeast side of the Sea of Galilee, that they had brought to Jesus those people who were lame and blind, sick and demonized. They were carrying the sick to him from all over the countryside. He had been in this area before and had ministered before and had healed many before. So the area was fully aware of who Jesus was, the servant that came to minister to them and to heal them. Today in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10, we're still in Decapolis. The crowds are still coming. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3. In those days, the crowd being very great and not having what they might eat, Jesus has called to his disciples, and he says to them, I have compassion upon the crowd, because already 3 days they continue with me, and they do not have what they might eat. And if I should send them away fasting, most English texts say here, the word hunger, if I send them away hungry, it's literally the religious term for fasting. If I send them away fasting into their houses, they will faint in the way, for some of them have come from far away. It took many of them a few days to get there. And Jesus, according to this text, stayed there for 3 days, and all day long they were bringing the sick to him, and he was ministering to them. But being out there in a desert place for 3 days, they had nothing to eat. In fact, when he said in his concern in verse 3, when he says, "If I send them away hungry," or literally fasting, the word hungry is this religious term for fasting. So apparently, when they came out to Jesus to bring the sick and to receive ministry, they came out knowing that they would be fasting or going without food out in this desert place. Now they needed food. And Jesus said to the disciples, after these 3 days of healing and ministering that was going on, he says in verse 2 to the disciples, "I have compassion upon the crowd." In verse 2, the word compassion is this Greek word, splunknizomai. That's splunknizomai. It comes from the Greek word splunknon, which is the word for the intestines or the viscera. It is interesting that when the Greeks would express their deep love and compassion, that they would use the internal organs of the body. For instance, we are all familiar with the term the heart. The Lord is concerned about our heart, not so much the muscle that pumps blood, but the term heart is used for our soul, our spirit. But when Jesus used the word compassion, he was not talking about emotional response or feeling. He was talking about a deep concern from deep down within him. He truly had compassion. Different than our English word compassion. He had deep compassion for the people. It shows us that the Lord was concerned not just for their spiritual needs as far as ministering to them, but he was also concerned for their physical needs as well. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 111, verses 1 through 6, "I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all those that have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant." It's interesting to understand that God's compassion, as expressed by the Old Testament, is based on God's covenant that he promised to the nation Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God has a covenant with us, a new covenant, Jesus said, in the pouring out of his blood. God made a covenant with us, salvation through Jesus Christ. And because of his covenant, he has compassion on us as well. Verse 6 of Psalm 111, "He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations." It says in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 22 and 23. When the nation Israel was unfaithful to God and was under his judgment, it says, "And Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But the Lord was gracious to them, had compassion on them, and regarded them because of his covenant." See, again, because of his covenant, his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them or cast them from his presence. The only reason the Lord does not destroy us and cast us from his presence, the reason why he has his motivation is to minister to us with his compassion and concern for us. Down deep compassion, not surface human, but a deep down compassion, is because of his covenant through Jesus Christ. It's through Christ, through his shed blood, that God made the covenant to us that he would not destroy us nor cast us from his presence. Jeremiah the prophet said in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, after the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon, Jeremiah says, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is are your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him." So scriptures are full of the description of the compassion of the Lord. That deep down compassion that comes down from deep down within. Again, not an emotional compassion like we have in the human. In our text in Mark chapter 8, Jesus put the disciples in this position because he is showing them to have compassion on people is not only to minister to their spirit, but to minister to their physical need. We see in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, where James says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone should say he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" And the answer in the Greek text is no, faith cannot save him. Now, we studied about faith a couple of weeks ago. The origin of faith is God, according to the Bible. According to the scriptures, faith is produced by the Holy Spirit. Faith is given by the Holy Spirit. Faith is measured out by the Holy Spirit. So if a person has faith, if a person has Christ living with them, the Spirit living with them, there will be works. The word works is the word for activity. Action. If a person has genuine faith that comes from God, there will be activity. It will be an active faith. But if a person says they have faith and there's no activity, the question is, can faith save that person? And the text, the Greek text, includes the answer no. He goes on to say in James chapter 2, verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's a dead faith. if there's no activity to it. He's using the example of seeing a brother and sister in need and destitute of food or clothing. An active faith not only prays for them, but helps provide for them. So we see here in Mark chapter 8, verse 2, that Jesus was concerned about all of the needs of the people. He wasn't just interested in having a healing service and then say, okay, all of you people go home. Satisfy your physical needs elsewhere. The Lord had compassion on the multitudes because they had remained with him for 3 days and they were without food. They didn't have anything to eat for 3 days. And so we see the disciples were learning a great lesson that the Lord was motivated by compassion, not by works of the law or some kind of religious motivation. He truly had compassion on people, on their complete needs, both spiritual and physical. Now verses 4 and 5 of our text. And his disciples answered him, "From where will anyone here be able to satisfy these with bread upon a desert place?" And he, that is Jesus, was asking them, "How many loaves do you have here?" And they said, 7. The disciples' response was, "From where will anyone here be able to satisfy these with bread upon a desert place?" Now, some commentators will say that the Lord was rebuking them, that they still didn't get the lesson from back in chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, in the feeding of the 5,000. That is not what the text says. According to the original language of the scriptures, they were saying to Jesus, basically, that there are no humans or human resources that are going to be able to take care of this problem. They had actually learned that the Lord is the source. He's not telling them that they didn't understand and that he is the only source and there's no human resource. So they come to him and they confess to him that there isn't anybody, no one, has the resources to feed these people. And so we go to Mark chapter 8, verses 6 through 9, the command. Reading verses 6 and 7. And he commanded the crowd to recline upon the ground. And after taking the 7 loaves, after having given thanks, he broke it and was giving. Notice the verb tense. It was continuous action. He was giving to his disciples in order that they might set before them. And they set before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And after having blessed, he said, "For these also to be set before them." So he commanded the multitudes to sit down again. And the same lesson that he was giving in chapter 6, verses 30 to 44, he now gives in chapter 8. And that is that it took the 7 loaves of bread and was continually multiplying it out and giving it, placing it before the disciples taking it and placing it before the people. Now it is interesting how the Lord involves his people in his work. You know, the Lord could have said, "Let there be bread just like he said, let there be light, or let there be stars, or let there be planets, or let there be a universe. He could have just spoke it all into existence. He could have said, let there be bread and have everybody sit in a meditation position and close your eyes and pray for bread. And then when you open your eyes, you will have a plate sitting in front of you with bread and drink. He could have done that very easily. He can satisfy and minister to a lot of situations very easily from a spiritual standpoint. But it's an amazing thing how he involves us in his work. The fact that he works through us, inferior vessels, clay vessels, that we hold this treasure. And yet, he involves us in his work. And in chapter 6, in the feeding of the 5,000, he taught the disciples that he is the resource, and secondly, they are to come to him with every situation. And they are to be the Lord's servant in the situation, not the people's servant. It's very important to realize. We serve the Lord, not people. Now that's very important to see. They learn the proper order. The Lord is the source, and they are the servers of the Lord. So we see a very important truth. Is that circumstances are not created to solve. Circumstances are created to serve the Lord. Not people. We are not the source. The Lord is the source. Back in chapter 6, the disciples were running around trying to solve the problem for the people. They had two things wrong. Number one, they could not use their human resources. Situations are created to be beyond our authority and beyond our human control, and beyond our human ability. We have to come to Christ. He is the head of every situation. He already knows what he's going to do. And that is what we studied back in chapter 6. Because in John chapter 6, not Mark chapter 6, but John chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, it told us that Jesus said to the disciples, what are we going to do in the feeding of the 5,000? What are we going to do? That's my paraphrase translation. And they ran around trying to find enough bread and enough money. And they said, we don't have enough human resources to take care of the situation. And that is when Jesus took over and showed them that the human resources are not the answer. And this teaches us that we do not serve people. The Lord is the answer and we serve him. The Lord gives to us. He takes whatever small resources we have to him, to give to him, and he takes that and blesses it and multiplies it out. But we serve Christ in the situation. We don't serve people, we serve Christ. And so the same thing happened now as they come to Jesus and confess there is no human physical resource. And he says to them in verse 5, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he took it and multiplied it out. He gave it to the disciples. And the disciples went and distributed through the crowd. Can you imagine how long that would take? If you have 4,000 people, and Matthew's account tells us there were 4,000 men, not counting women and children. So there are between 12,000 and 16,000 people, and you've got 12 men distributing bread. Takes a long time. A lot of work. But the Lord made them involved in part of his work. Look at verses 8 and 9. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up an abundance, 7 baskets of fragments. And the ones who had extra eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. So he took up 7 large baskets full of leftover fragments. The word baskets is a different Greek word than used in the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6. These in chapter 8 are like hampers. They're big enough for people to fit into. In Acts chapter 9, verse 25, this is the type of basket that Paul was put in where they lowered him down from the wall in Damascus so he could make his escape. So the baskets in Mark chapter 6 are small hand baskets. These are larger hamper baskets, large enough for people to fit in. Mark chapter 8, verse 10, the conclusion. Notice what verse 10 says, and immediately having entered into the boat with his disciples, he came into the parts of Dalmanutha. Dalmanutha, Matthew chapter 15, verse 39, identifies this as the region of Magadan, between Magdala and Capernaum, on the west side of the lake. So after feeding the people, they get into a boat and they go from east to west over to the area of Magadan, where we believe Dalmanutha was located. We don't know exactly, but that's the area that Matthew chapter 15, verse 39 identifies for us. So the disciples learned the lesson from the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6 to now the feeding of the 4,000. And they come and they confess to Jesus. There are no human resources. There are no human beings that can provide for all these people out here. So Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? So Jesus took over. He responded to the confession. And it is interesting, as I said just a few moments ago, the Lord could have provided for them instantly by bringing bread and fish into existence for them to eat, when in reality, he was involving the disciples in his work. He involves us. He uses us. We are the vessels. As broken vessels as we are, the Lord uses us for his work. He mends us, and then he uses us for his sake. We will continue next week. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. Thank you again for the lessons the Lord is teaching us. We thank you that Jesus is showing us that our circumstances are beyond our control, that you are in control. And we are to look to you to serve you, not even to serve the circumstances, but to serve Christ in the circumstances. Help us to be servers, not try to solve problems, but to be servers of Christ in your great work. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.